him the Christmas before and search out the exact spot he was reading about. So now, as he made his way through the streets, he was happy because the day was over and because it was the end of September. When he came to the gate of the neat little bungalow at 432 Proudfoot Avenue, he turned in. "Well, my love," he said, setting down his buckets and ladders and boards and kissing Mrs. Popper, "the decorating season is over. I have painted all the kitchens in Stillwater. I have papered all the rooms in the new apartment building on Elm Street. There is no more work until spring, when people will want their houses painted." Mrs. Popper sighed. "I sometimes wish you had the kind of work that lasted all year, instead of just from spring until fall," she said. "It will be very nice to have you at home for a vacation, of course, but it is a little hard to sweep with a man sitting around reading all day."
"I could decorate the house for you."
"No, indeed," said Mrs. Popper firmly. "Last year, you painted the bathroom 4 different times because you had nothing else to do, and I think that is enough of that. But what worries me is the money. I have saved a little, and I dare say we can get along as we have other winters. No more roast beef, no more ice cream, not even on Sundays."
"Shall we have beans every day?"
asked Janie and Bill, coming in from play.
"I'm afraid so," said Mrs. Popper. "Anyway, go wash your hands for supper. And Papa, put away this litter of paints, because you won't be needing them for quite a while."
Chapter 2. The Voice in the Air. That evening, when the little Poppers had been put to bed, Mr. and Mrs. Popper settled down for a long, quiet evening. The neat living room at 432 Proudfoot Avenue was much like all the other living rooms in Stillwater, except that the walls were hung with pictures from the National Geographic magazine. Mrs. Popper picked up her mending, while Mr. Popper collected his pipe, his book, and his globe. From time to time, Mrs. Popper sighed a little as she thought about the long winter ahead. Would there really be enough beans to last, she wondered. Mr. Popper was not worried, however. As he put on his spectacles, he was quite pleased at the prospect of a whole winter of reading travel books with no work to interrupt him. He set his little globe beside him and began to read.
"What are you reading?" asked Mrs. Popper.
"I am reading a book called Antarctic Adventures. It is very interesting. It tells all about the different people who have gone to the South Pole and what they have found there."
"Don't you ever get tired of reading about the South Pole?"
"No, I don't. Of course, I would much rather go there than read about it. But reading is the next best thing."
"I think it must be very boring down there," said Mrs. Popper. "It sounds very dull and cold with all that ice and snow."
"Oh, no," answered Mr. Popper. "You wouldn't think it was dull if you had gone with me to see the movies of the Drake expedition at the Bijou last year."
"Well, I didn't, and I don't think any of us will have any money for movies now," answered Mrs. Popper a little sharply. She was not at all a disagreeable woman, but she sometimes got rather cross when she was worried about money.
"If you had gone, my love," went on Mr. Popper, "you would have seen how beautiful the Antarctic is. But I think the nicest part of all is the penguins. No wonder all the men on that expedition had such a good time playing with them. They are the funniest birds in the world. They don't fly like other birds. They walk erect, like little men. When they get tired of walking, they just lie down on their stomachs and slide. It would be very nice to have one for a pet."
"Pets," said Mrs. Popper. "First it's Bill wanting a dog and then Janie begging for a kitten. Now you and penguins.
But I won't have any pets around. They make too much dirt in the house, and I have enough work now trying to keep this place tidy.